Good morning. If you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. We're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24. Living differently. Living differently. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. Now, as you know, in our review sessions, we've been going through this every week, Ephesians is written to the church. It's describing what the church should be. It was written by Paul in prison. He wrote four prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Those four. Chapters 1 through 3 are doctrinal. We talked about election. What does election mean? That God has a called out people for himself. That those who believe, I think, are the elect. That you are predestined. That you are adopted into the family of God with full rights and privileges of a genuine son. That you were sealed at the time of believing by the Holy Spirit for ownership. And puts a stamp of approval on you. That we learn that Jesus is the head of the church. No man is the head of the church. No person. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his church. We learned also that we are fitted into God's church as individual stones. We have a perfect, unique shape, and we have a perfect, unique fit, and we are fitted in to the church as living stones. We also learned that salvation is by grace, through faith, through in Christ alone. Sola gratia. Sola, these are the solas. Alone, grace. Sola fide, by faith. Sola Christus, in Christ alone. And then we realize that God is building a family. It's the family of God. And the only way that you can get into this family is through belief in the Lord Jesus. You have to believe that he died in your place. It's the substitutionary death in our place. You have to believe that. Any other way doesn't get you there. Your good works doesn't get you there. Wishing, hoping, thinking, dreaming, that doesn't get you there. We are the family of God. You get there one way, that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You repent of your sins. You believe that he died on the cross for your sins. You come into the family of God. In chapter 4, we learned that once we're in the family of God, how we are to live in this family. That we live united. All in the family, everyone in the family has a spiritual gift. At the time that you were saved, God gave you a spiritual gift. Something to use within the body of Christ to elevate, to lift up, to encourage the body. So you have one. It's your job to discover it. And then we mostly focused on the equipping gifts. There were four equipping gifts that we learned about. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teacher. Now they are to facilitate unity within the body. The pastor teacher's role is to encourage the body to grow. United together to strengthen the body. For service. That we are all doing something within the body of Christ. We're all working together. These are equipping gifts to encourage everybody to do something. In God's family, in God's church, service is not optional. It is mandatory. Please, at least you've been taught it. So your service may change over time. The way that you serve in a ministry may change over time. There are physical things that happen to people, and they can't participate like they once did. There are situations in life, but never is it ever an option for someone to just opt out and say, no mas, no more, I'm not participating, I give up, been down this road too much, too hard, that whole thing. There's no place for that. You cannot do that and be in the will of God. We are all called to do something until we take our last breath on this earth. And I don't care if you're in a bed, bedridden, you can still have a prayer ministry. You can still have a phone next to you and have a ministry of encouragement. you can do something within the body of Christ to encourage people within the body. Now, this week, those in God's family that have come by grace through faith alone, all at the time of salvation have been given a spiritual gift. All have been equipped for ministry to do. Now, remember that church is participative, not observational only. It's participative and not observational only. With all that God has done for us, look it, he came to this earth. You talk about traumatic stress. If you came from heaven to here, I mean, wouldn't that just rock your world? I mean, the Lord Jesus has to be stronger than strong because he just navigated this perfectly. Perfectly. From heaven to earth to become one of us. For everything God has done for us, Paul encourages us to live differently. Not like the Gentiles, not like the unsaved people. It is off with the old and on with the new me when I come into the body of Christ. How does the new me navigate through Satan's kingdom? That's what we have to learn. Remember, all people are born into this world in the kingdom of darkness. And you are rescued from the kingdom of darkness when you believe that Jesus is your Savior. And you embrace Christianity. Otherwise, you're still in the kingdom of darkness. You might not know it. The whole world doesn't acknowledge that. But that's where they're navigating, through the kingdom of darkness. They're in the world. They're influenced by the culture. And folks, we are called to live differently, and that means we are counterculture. We aren't buying into what the world feeds us. We're not buying into it. Now, the question is, how do I live differently? Well, folks, we are called to live differently, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to study your word. Holy Spirit, as always, teach us what we do not know. Please, open our spiritual eyes, ears, our hearts to the truth of your word. And may we just be changed because we've been in contact with you, the living God, at this moment of time in history. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to hear from you, the God of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 17, how do I live differently? Well, guess what? I get a whole lot of start overs. Aren't you glad of that? You can start over and you can start over and you can, we get a lot, there's grace in this thing. We get a lot of start overs. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. You used to walk like all the Gentiles walked in the futility of their minds. Think about this. Isn't it great that there can be start overs? I mean, I'm hip hip hooray with that. That we no longer walk like the Gentiles walked in the world. That's what I think by start overs. How do I live differently? How do I start over? How do I not walk as the Gentiles in the church, with the church as the focus? Well, the first thing that has to happen for anybody to be called the church is that you have to be saved. You have to receive the gift of salvation. God offers it to us, holds it out to us. We have to receive it. That's the very beginning, to walk differently than the world, to live differently than the world. So, we confess our sins, we're forgiven, and then we find our place within the body of Christ. So I live differently in the church when I've been born again of the Spirit. But it's not just there. I live differently in the home. I live differently in the home when I'm not walking as the Gentiles walk. What do I mean by that? Well, I don't have to act like I used to act. I don't have to speak like I used to speak. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is resident within me. He's changed me. And actually, it is incumbent upon you not to act like you used to act or speak the way you used to speak. I don't have to respond like I used to respond to situations. Why? Because I have the Spirit of God resident within that checks my actions. I don't have to reflexively act like I used to act when I was not in the family of God, when I was acting like the world, when I was acting from my guttural internal self. How about not walking as the Gentiles at work? When you're born again of the Spirit, I hope your work situation changed. The old me is slide and glide at work. I want to see what I can do. And, you know, most people are smart enough to do just enough to not get fired, just enough. And that is not what we are called to do as Christians, slide and glide. That's what I call that. The new me is Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, you work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. For it is the Lord God we are serving. It's Lord Christ we are serving. That's how we are to work at our work, where people look at you as something different. Breathe life into your work. Breathe life into your work. Do more than what is required. You're a Christian. You're representing someone greater than you. That's what we're called to do, folks. No sliding and gliding for us. How does it work as a wife? Well, as a wife, not walking as a Gentile, not to live differently once you're born again. As a wife, you are a completer, not a competer with your husband. You're called to complete this dude. He needs you. Realize how badly he needs you. You complete him. Husbands, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. You are to sacrifice for her, give for her. There's no this ruling with the iron fist. How about children? What are children supposed to do? Oh, get ready. Honor your father and your mother. You know, there's a promise associated with this, so that your days will be long numbered upon the face of the earth. That's what children are supposed to do. That's the fifth commandment. How about Ephesians 6:1? Ephesians 6:1, obey your parents. Ephesians 6:1. But you know, parents have a responsibility to the children. Listen to this. Fathers, or parents, I would say, do not embitter your children. Colossians 3:21. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, how do you provoke your children to wrath? Rigid, domineering, degrading, pushing them. You know, we are to train up in the child in the way that he should go, he or she should go. That is our job. Our job is to train them up in the way they should go, not mold them into our little image of what they should be. Train them up. Rigid, degrading talk is not appropriate. Now, there's a warning that we are not to live this whole thing is live differently. Do not live like the Gentiles. Do not live like the old you. God has changed your heart. He's done this. Salvation is a miracle of God. Salvation is a miracle of God. Now you must change the way you think. You must change the way you think. You must live differently than you used to live. Why? Because God has come into you. He's changed you. He's made you a new person. You're a new creation in Christ. Now remember this, the battle to live differently is in the mind. Victory or defeat is in the mind. In the mind. How you think, what you dwell on is important. You cannot live differently unless your mind has been transformed, unless your mind has been renewed. Unless you are thinking like a Christian and not like the world. And believe me, you heard of recidivism? Recidivism is when somebody gets out of jail and then they go back and do the same thing, they get put back in jail. Well, believe me, there's recidivism in Christianity, where I live like the world, I come into the family of God, I'm living a righteous life, and boom, before you know it, I'm back into the old life. That happens. That requires a renewed, transformed mind. More on this later. Okay? Verse 18 and 19. All living differently were delivered from Satan's kingdom. Look how we used to live. Having their understanding darkened. It just sounds like the kingdom of darkness. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feelings, have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of all uncleanness, and with greediness. Wow. All living differently were delivered from that mess, Satan's kingdom. Now, my understanding was darkened. My understanding was distorted before I came into the family of God. And my understanding, I was deceived. Everybody living in the kingdom of darkness is living in deception. living in deception. Why? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells you right why. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ. They cannot see. We are all blinded in the kingdom of darkness. It takes a miracle for God to take the blinders off for us to see. Well, we have this colloquialism in people's lives. They say, I see the light. I see the light. Well, yeah, you see the light. God has taken the blinders off. Otherwise, you're still in darkness. It takes a miracle of him to do it. All are born into the kingdom of darkness. Everybody is blinded, hard hearts, at least towards God, rebellious hearts. All walked or lived for years in this condition. For years. Let's say you get saved at age 20. You got 20 years in the kingdom of darkness. And if you're 40, well, how much is that in the kingdom of darkness? 40 years, Mr. Gorham. Oh, yes, how great, yeah. All in this state are alienated by God. It took a miracle of God to remove the blinders, to change your heart, didn't it? Like the blind man in John 9:25. Once I was blind, oh, but now I see. Now I see the truth. And that's when we just burst out in, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. We're not only blinded, but we're, he says in the scripture, past feeling. Now that is a bad spot to be in. Past feeling. A depraved people are past feeling, hard-hearted. John Corson in his commentary quotes Donald Barnhouse. And Donald Barnhouse says this. After Donald Barnhouse, the classic preacher from a generation ago, shared a message about the repercussions of sin, a young man approached him and said, I sin, but it doesn't seem to matter at all. He's past feeling. I'm not haunted by it. I don't get depressed about it. It doesn't bother me a bit. Donald Barnhouse looked at him and said, tell me, son, what would happen if I dropped an 800-pound weight on the body of a dead man? Would he feel it? Would he be in pain? Would it bother him? Of course not, said the young man. That's the point, said Dr. Barnhouse. If you don't feel the weight of sin, if it's not heavy upon you, if it's not having an impact on you, it's because you're spiritually dead. Isn't that interesting? Donald Barnhouse was a pretty smart guy. Pretty smart guy. Look, we all at one time were alienated from God. We were all at one time blinded and had hard hearts. We were past feelings. Folks, this is the state of the fallen person, the fallen man or woman. How does the fallen man live? Well, look around you. They have given themselves over. Given themselves, that's what the text says. They've given themselves over to lewdness. You know what lewdness is? Throwing off all restraint. Just throwing off all restraint. And oh, how the world just embraces that. Oh, that's cool. That's wonderful. Now, that's how we have fun. Now, that's how you destroy your life. Throw off all restraint. Secondly, it's uncleanness. You know what uncleanness is? Sexual impropriety. Any sexual act that's outside of the covenant of marriage is improper. It is improper. And then greediness was the third one. Greediness is where I want more and more and more, and I'm never satisfied. Never satisfied. Just, you ever feel, we all have this one. If I could just get the new car. If I could just get the new house. If I could just get the new lawnmower. I would never ask for another lawnmower again. Just give me a new grasshopper. You know, greediness. And I get the grasshopper, and then I want the big John Deere. Because I got that, you know. Greediness, it's all, we're never satisfied. It's how we live in the world. It's a picture of the old me, hopefully, never satisfied. Now think about this. How would you like to be yoked to a guy or a gal in that situation? Scripture says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, doesn't it? Different kingdoms, different values, different kings, different destiny. Different. And we're going to try to bring this thing together because, oh, I love Billy. And I know Billy will change. Billy will change if we just, you know. Different kingdoms do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. God knows what he's talking about. And don't believe Billy when Billy says, I'll go to church. I really will. I'll go to church. I mean it. I'll go to church. Yeah. I love Jesus. 2 weeks later after you're married and Billy is back to Billy. Yeah, make sure you're not unequally yoked. See the importance of it. Verse 20 and 21. Think after, now just after all this darkness, thank God for the new you. The only way to live differently is to be born again, saved, heaven-bound person. That's the only way that you can live differently. Verse 20 and 21. But you have not so learned Christ. That's talking about you being saved. This is contrasting. You have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him. Now I'll tell you, God has a call that is going out to all humanity. Have you heard the call of God? Have you heard him calling out to your heart? You have. And either you have to push him away or you have to ignore him. You have heard him and have been, taught by him. These are saved people, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your old conduct. That you put off concerning your old conduct. We'll stop right there. First is to be born again, saved, heaven-bound person. For all people that have been born again had to have heard the voice of God. You don't get born again on your own. This doesn't just happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen by grandfathering either. Well, my mama was a Christian. Her mama was a Christian. I'm a Christian. No, it doesn't. It's individual. God comes to people individually. And we must submit to him, be taught by him, do what he says. All those who have heard him are taught by him. These are called to live differently in this world. If you find yourself blending with the world, you are out of the will of God. Pure and simple. There's no other way around that. We can't cloak that or cover it. There is no believing without following, and there is no salvation without surrender. You know, you have to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus. I give up. I give up. No more. You take over, God. You take over my life. I can't do this anymore. I know that I am bound for hell. If you do not rescue me, I yield to you. Everyone that's born again of the Spirit here has done that. Everyone. I yield to you. How does living differently look? Off with the old and on with the new. Verse 22 through 24. That you put off, this is a willing act. Once you're saved, this is what you are to do. That you put off concerning your former conduct. Why is he warning about that? Because there's a tendency for us to go back to former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off and put on. And it is described again, like we've went through this teaching before, like taking off a suit of clothes or putting on a suit of clothes. It's something that the person does once they're born again. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, just to your right a few pages, verse 8. It's going to give a real description of how you do this. But now you, yourselves, Colossians 3, verse 8, but now you yourselves. Now who is that speaking to that's supposed to do this? You yourself is right here. Okay? It's you. It's me. And we're all in this. We're all yous. Okay? It's your person. You yourselves are to put off all of these. Can you identify any of them? Anger? Ever have any of that? Wrath, malice, blasphemy? How about this one? Filthy language out of your mouth? You mean, as a Christian, there's a way I should speak. As a Christian, my vocabulary must change. Not just should change, it must change. Why? Because the Spirit of God is resident within me. He's checking me. Now, will I relapse sometimes? Well, you bet. You just hit your thumb one time with a hammer. You might have some words. Or whatever your thing is, you know. Filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. You've taken off that exterior suit. You set it aside. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We're being conformed in the likeness of Christ according to the image of him who created him. That's who we're becoming more and more like. That's what your whole journey here is all about. It's not all about, oh, I'm going to have fun today. What fun am I going to have today? The greatest fun that you can have is be united with the Lord Jesus. That's the greatest fun you'll ever have in your life. It's a wonderful ride. When he's in charge, he's in the front seat, you're just pedaling along. It's a great journey with him. Where there is neither Greek or Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Look, all people can be saved. All people are savable. Never, ever, ever think that anybody is too far from being saved. God is a God of miracles. He can save anybody at any time, including right to the last breath of life. That's why your job is to keep believing and keep giving the gospel message right to the very end. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's us, okay, talking to us now, the new man, holy and beloved, we are to put on, our lives are supposed to change, tender mercies. You know what that is? Compassion. You know when you're being conformed to the likeness of Christ, when you start to have compassion that you didn't have before for other things and other people. Not just compassion for the seals or the polar bears. You start having compassion for things that God cares about. Not that he doesn't care about all his creation, but you know what I'm talking about. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. That's, again, we learned that in Ephesians 4, too, is putting up with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. If you are putting on the new you, you have the right to have an unforgiving spirit. No, you don't. The new you is to be a forgiving person. And watch this. But above all these things, put on love. By this will all men will know you, if you love your neighbor, if you love your brother. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you're Christ if you love one another. Love, which is the bond of perfection. And let listen to this one. The new you, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know what that means? ISIS, I'm not going to be in turmoil. Stock market just dropped 500 points. Believe me, I have a little trouble with this, but I'm not going to be in turmoil. You know what I'm talking about. To which you also, you live with the peace of God ruling in your heart. Now, what does that mean to me? I might be moved for a moment by the situation, but I come to my senses and say, no, God is in charge. And it doesn't matter what happens here. I'm trusting him. And that's how you live with the peace of God that passes all understanding. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. How does all this happen when I put it on? Well, verse 16 tells you this doesn't happen automatically. There's work that's involved. It's implicit that we are working in our walk. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's how I accomplish this. The word of God is dwelling in me richly. Does that mean I'm just every now and then, I read it on Sunday for a few seconds? And that, no, it means every day we're in this word. You want to be a real put on the new you? That's what you have to do. Let it dwell in you richly, not cursory, richly, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another. Now, in order to admonish one another, what do we have to be in? Fellowship. Can you say that word? Fellowship. We have to be together. And encouraging, admonishing could be warning or building up. We need both. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. giving thanks to God the Father through him. And everything, give thanks to God the Father through him. Give thanks to God in everything. That's an easy thing to say. But for us walking on this side, it's hard to do. But it's accomplishable as we put on the new man and quit acting like the old guy, worrying about everything that comes down the pike. Put on the new man. Put on. Now, let's just review this. Who puts on the new man? The person. The person does. The saved you does. Yeah, how do you put on the new man? Who puts on the new man? Well, it's the saved you, okay? Thank you. You were right. Thank you. Why can you do this? Why can you put on the new man? Because your old man was crucified at the cross with the Lord Jesus. Romans 6:6. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is in you. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's accomplishable. What do you put off? My old conduct, my corrupt heart, my past feelings person. Why am I emphasizing this? Because falling back to old patterns of thoughts and actions can happen to you. To you. We're all yous, okay? It can happen to us. We can fall back. Recidivism happens with Christians. And we must guard ourselves against that. The old conduct. Your old conduct, your old you, wants to raise its ugly head. But you, Holy Spirit and filled person, can avoid that. You can put off the old you. Put on the new you. Now, what's the problem? Again, this is easier said than done. Why? Because, listen to this, your flesh will call you back to your old life. Now, you believe that? Yeah, you bet, because you live it. And again, you, is me, and we're all in this. Now, the reason that this is such a problem is what happened in your old life? Let me explain this. There are strongholds that have been built. Now, when you've been born again of the Spirit, you've come into the family of God, there are still strongholds, old ways of thinking that are ingrained and patterned in your brain, deeply entrenched ways of behavior. And Satan wants you back there, not putting off, but dragging you back to the old ways. It's a war, but a war that has to be won. You can be a victor, not a victim. That's the goal. How do we do this? Well, verse 23 tells us exactly how to do this. Oh, let's look at this. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. To live differently, your mind must be renewed. It must be transformed. You cannot remain static in this. Christianity is growth. A transformed mind continually, more and more conformed to the likeness of Christ. When dealing with old strongholds, what to do and what not to do. I've got a little list here. You can make your list up. You can do whatever you want to make up. This is what you get today, this list. Number one, do not stay out of fellowship. Folks, we need one another. We need the accountability of one another. Stay in fellowship. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. We need each other. We must engage in one another's life. Help each other on this journey. Number two, do not miss your daily feeding of God's word. And I will add this, no matter what. Now you feed your belly. You make sure you get a little breakfast, get a little lunch, get a little dinner. 15 snacks in a day. Okay, you do that. Okay. You must, no matter what, you must feed on God's word every day. Feed on the word. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I will not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Number three, do not think you're strong enough to meddle with or get close to your old ways. There are people that do this. Okay, now I'm strong. I'm Hercules. I can go back to the old gang. I can do a little. I can rub shoulders over here. No, you cannot. Do avoid people in areas of temptation. 2 Timothy 2:22. You might want to turn there. 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, "Flee also youthful lusts." What does that mean to you? Run. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on God out of a pure heart. Let me read that again. You're going to see something in here. Flee also youthful lust. That's up to you. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those. With those. What does that mean? With those. I'm going to be in fellowship, aren't I? I'm going to be in community with a group of people. We're helping one another along this thing. Who call upon God, the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee. Run. Like Joseph. Run. Number four, do not allow the enemy to plant thoughts in your mind that you entertain. He's going to plant thoughts. It's up to you not to entertain them. Recognize them for what they are. Remember, it's a mind war. Do Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now, we've been here a million times, but I would ask you to turn there again, and I hope you have some things written down in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We inculcate, teach by repetition. This needs to be implanted into our memory banks and not forgotten. I beseech you, I plead with you, I paracleto you, I call you alongside of me, you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You present your bodies. You're born again, saved, you are to present your bodies. This is sanctification, okay? Being set apart unto God more and more and more. You present your bodies. God has my life totally. That's the goal. It's an act of dedication. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. That's the only thing that's acceptable to Him, is when we come before Him dedicated to Him, fully dedicated to Him. Otherwise, He's nurturing, He's pulling, He's encouraging us along the way. He wants us to dedicate ourselves totally to Him, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual act of worship. And do not, now this is an imperative. When He says do not, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not, well, you might want to do it, you might not. This is do not be conformed to this world. Why? Because the world is in the kingdom of darkness and you aren't. You are in the kingdom of light. Do not conform to what the world is jamming down your throat 24/7. Don't conform to Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or anything else. You conform to what God's word is speaking to you and how it speaks to you. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosized, changed from the inside out. That's how it changes. We're changed from the inside out. By how? By the renewing of your mind. Folks, when my mind is renewed, I think differently. And if I think differently, I will act differently. My thoughts precede my actions. That is absolutely imperative. It is a battle of the mind. I think differently, I will act differently. By the renewing of your minds, that you may be able to prove what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what the perfect will of God is? Is that your mind is transformed and renewed. So you aren't thinking like the old you. That's what it's about. I'm being conformed to the likeness of Christ. I don't have to respond like I used to respond. Look, we're all going through this. And you know that each one of us goes back to the old us from time to time. We want to live less and less in old me and more in new me. New me. I'm being conformed to the likeness of Christ. He who controls the mind, the thoughts, controls the person. Whatever is controlling your mind or your thoughts will eventually control the person. If you are allowing the world to do that, then the world is going to set up your patterns of thinking. Your worldview will be like the world. If the Lord Jesus is controlling your mind, you will have a Christian worldview. And the two are not close. They are wide apart. Wide apart. Very different. Very different. That's why you are peculiar. That's why you are strange. That's why you are weird to the rest of the world. Because we're way far apart. Now, if you find yourself doing this, getting closer and closer and closer and blending, you're out of the will of God. Just that simple. Get your mind transformed and go back to following Him. Flee, run back to Daddy. Run back to Him. Now, how do we really live differently? Well, verse 24, put on the new man, and that you put on the new man. Old strongholds have to be overcome, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Folks, at the cross, the old man died. The old man was dead. The old man is gone. Bye-bye, gone. How does the new you live? In righteousness and holiness. What does this mean? It means that I must do things God's way. There's no room for excuses. There's no room for rationalization. We're great at this. Humans are great rationalizers. I'm not as bad as Sammy. I'm not as bad as Billy. I'm not as bad as, you know. We're comparing. No excuses, no rationalizing in order to do your thing. Everybody wants to do their thing. Well, hopefully your thing is going to be more and more in line with what Christ wants than what the world wants. It's way different than the kingdom of darkness. Doing things the flesh way. Think about this. Your flesh always, listen to this statement. This is a true statement. Your flesh always wants to cooperate with the kingdom of darkness, with the world. Your flesh will always want to compromise with the world. Always. Always going back. Some closing thoughts on the new you. Living differently, living as victors. I would ask you in my closing today to turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We're going to exposit this. This is for us, folks. How to live differently. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed is Asher. That means blessed, to go straight, to be successful, to prosper. That's what that blessed means. If you want to do those things, be on the right road, be successful, to prosper, he's going to tell you. He's going to tell you how to live differently, how to experience God's blessings. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know what that tells me? Right next to that, I wrote, Rick, be careful who you hang with. Be careful who you hang with. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful of the inputs that you're getting into your life. Be careful. Nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. This is somebody that's becoming more and more embracing of the world's ways. It's progressive. Don't do that. But, contrasting, but you blessed man, you, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Not once a week, not once a month. Not like Donald Trump said, on all the high holidays, I hit church. I'm a Christian. I hit church on all the high holidays. That's what it's saying here. You want to be blessed by God. You meditate day and night. You know what Psalm 119, 15 and 16 says? I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I'll delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Don't let the Eastern religion steal meditation from us. You know what Christian meditation is? It's meditating on. I'm meditating on God's word. I'm not emptying my mind. That's Eastern mysticism. emptying your mind and allow the demonic forces to come in. No, that's quite different than Christian meditation. When I'm meditating on the Word of God, I'm meditating on the things of God. That's what we're called to do. How are you going to live, Christian person? How are you going to live, blessed man or woman? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What does that mean? Solid, deeply rooted, nourished by the Word of God, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. And oh, listen to this. Whatever he does shall prosper. It's a promise to you that you can live blessed in this cursed kingdom of darkness world if we do not blend and compromise. Those are the blessings of God. They might not be blessings according to the world standard, but you will have peace that the world doesn't have. You'll have something that the world can only wonder about or try to get through smoking a joint or shooting a needle or whatever else they do to try to get rid of their misery. We have something that the world does not have. Our God living resident within us with an overwhelming power to be able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine. Because that power is resident in every single believer to live victoriously, to live above this mess called earth, and to make it safely home, folks. Don't you want to get safely home? Don't you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Enter into the things that are prepared for you. God has a blessing waiting us. Do everything that we can. Everything that we can. Folks, you can choose to walk in the new wardrobe. You can put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. That's Romans 13, 14. You are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Off with the old, on with the new. You can, you must, as a child of God, you must live differently. Selah. Father, we give you thanks for your word, and I pray that it is implanted into each heart here, deeply rooted in us. Help us to know how to live blessed on this side, that we are following your precepts and your ways. We'll meditate on your word. We'll contemplate your ways. We'll delight ourselves in your statutes. Lord, we will not forget your word because it's deep within us. It's part of our being. Thank you, Father, for teaching us. Holy Spirit, please do your work in each one of our hearts right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody.